Hey, this is Brian Koppelman, screenwriter, director, co-creator, and showrunner of Showtime's Billions, and most importantly right now, the host of the podcast The Moment. If you're new to the show, you should understand that I have a lifelong fascination with how people process the really low and the really high moments in their lives. And I had an hour-long talk with Mike Mills that I cannot wait to share, and that'll be the first podcast back up. Subscribe now at iTunes.com/The Moment or ApplePodcasts.com/The Moment.
Hey, everybody, this is Richard Deitch, and welcome to the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. My producer, as always, is Lou Pellegrino. Got a great guest this week, Gino Auriemma, the coach of UConn women's basketball. But this is not a basketball podcast. Gino Auriemma has started a podcast himself called Holding Court with Gino Auriemma. His first couple episodes have had mega, mega stars on them. Kyrie Irving, Sue Bird, Tiger Woods, first podcast he's ever done, John Calipari, Kentucky coach, and coming up, Charles Barkley. And we have a really, I thought was a great conversation about how and why Gino started his podcast, what he is trying to do in terms of being an interviewer as opposed to an interviewee, and his appearance on Pardon My Take, which was rather funny. And then the conversation gets serious, and we talk about being more politically active, which he certainly is now on his Twitter feed. And would the UConn women's basketball team accept an invitation to the White House under President Donald Trump? That's all coming up on the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast with Gino Auriemma. All right, as promised, as we said at the top, we bring in Gino Auriemma, the head coach of the University of Connecticut women's basketball team, someone I have interviewed many, many times, but not in this forum, not about podcasting. Gino Auriemma, welcome to the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast.
Wow, Sports Illustrated, huh? That's about as big as it gets now.
So it's a big day for you, Gino. It's a
huge, yes, it is.
Try to contain your excitement. We'll see what we can do. What is it like asking questions rather than answering them?
I love it. I like talking to interesting people. Let's put it that way. And I've tried, and hopefully we're succeeding, to not sound too scripted, too stiff, and just try to make it as conversational as possible. But I enjoy finding out things from other people. I get a kick out of it. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to do it.
Gino, let's start from when the idea or the origin of this podcast starts. Did someone pitch you on the idea? Was this something that you wanted to do, and then you spoke to people who are in the production world? What's the genesis of this?
I think it's a little bit of everything. You know, I remember saying to someone, I've always liked trying to find out, you know, what goes into making somebody as good as they are. Someone had approached me last year when we were doing the HBO special. Someone talked to me about, you know, doing a TV show where we would do a different person and we would go into their world and not necessarily talk about what they do, you know. So if you get a NASCAR driver and you're not going to talk to them about racing cars, but about some of the other things that they do that maybe has contributed or led to that, or an actor or a writer or a musician or a basketball coach, whatever the case may be. So it's something I've always been fascinated with and just seemed like the right time.
In your opinion, what, and you, I think at this point, you've, correct me if I'm wrong, you've done first podcast, Sue Bird, Kyrie Irving, second podcast, Tiger Woods. Do you have a third podcast in the that you've taped so far?
We've taped two so far. We've done Charles Barkley, and we just got finished doing one with John Calipari.
Okay, so these are major, major figures in sports. Was there a particular reason that you wanted to start with Sue and Kyrie, and then let's say Tiger as your second person?
Well, you know, Sue and I are going to be doing some other ones together, you know, because I think she's got some great insights on the sporting world and the social world, and comes at it from a different viewpoint. So that was part of that. And we just were able to tie it in with, you know, Kyrie and Sue both being starting point guards on the Olympic team. Kyrie being in the news a lot because going from the Cavaliers to the Celtics and all that entailed, and it was very timely. And the Tiger thing, you know, Tiger, you know, he's going to be playing again at the end of the month. And, you know, I've gotten to know him. I've had a relationship with him. And I asked him, and he said, yeah, I'd love to. I didn't realize it was going to be the only one he's ever done, first podcast he's ever done.
Yeah.
But, you know, and Charles is Charles. The NBA season is starting. And I was kind of tired of talking, so I knew all I had to do was ask Charles one question at the beginning, and then I could wrap it up 45 minutes later and be done with it.
Hit record, basically, with Barkley, and it's over. Let me, before I get sort of into, because I'm interested in the process of how you think about what guests you want, how you book them. Tiger obviously got a lot of attention, given that he doesn't do that many long-form interviews, and he had never done a podcast before, so he had never done that medium before. What did you find the most interesting or compelling about thing about that discussion?
Well, you know, people like Tiger, whether it's they're athletes or whether they're, you know, in business or some kind of celebrities that or politicians, whatever the case may be, that have reached a certain status. You know, you got one name, Tiger. You know, and you're maybe acknowledged as the best golfer of all time, you know, notwithstanding, you know, everybody who believes that Jack Nicklaus was, rightly so. You find that, for the most part, they're very guarded, very scripted, very politically correct. They're not going to go into any detail about a lot of their answers. They're going to try to stay very neutral. So for the most part, you know, Tiger was going to be like that. But a lot of people don't ask him about his kids. You know, I want to talk to him about that. A lot of people don't ask him about, you know, his views on today's players, golf courses, the equipment. You know, and I was hoping that I could get him to loosen up just a tad. And I think he did to a certain extent. And, you know, when he brought up the issue with the ball, I didn't realize that was the first time he had ever commented on that. And then, you know, when I heard that, you know, Golf Digest and Sports Channel and all that were talking about it, I thought, wow, I didn't know that. I thought that was something he had said before. But, you know, not easy to get an hour with Tiger Woods.
Well, let me ask specifically, how do you get an hour with Tiger Woods? Is it as simple as you have a relationship with him, you email or call him, you explain what you want, and he says yes? How does it work?
Well, so far, I mean, I think that the truth will come out when we're trying to do these long-term with people that I don't have a previous relationship with.
Right.
So it was easy for me to just pick up the phone and say, Kyrie, you know, I really would love for you to do this. Sure, coach. Or, you know, hey, Tiger, can you be on my podcast? Yeah, absolutely. Same with Charles. Same with Cal. So down the road as we get going and, you know, it's going to be a little more difficult. You know, I wanted to get Liev Schreiber because he narrated the
HBO stuff. Yeah.
The HBO stuff, yeah. So his publicist or his agent or somebody said, nah, he's not going to do it. But you know what? Until I hear from him. So I emailed him about something last year during the HBO, and he emailed me back. So I'm going to try him again. But you know, so far it's people that I know, people that I enjoy talking to. Down the road, I think it's going to get a little bit harder, I guess.
Gina, but I have to be honest, I love the fact that, like, you know, like reporters like myself, you're getting bullshit from PR people stopping you from getting your guests. So I enjoyed that just as a personal note that you've now experienced.
I am. I'm getting some
handling, as we call it in the business.
Yeah, I'm getting handled. Luckily, I have Patrick McKenna, who represents, you know, our department and me and in this endeavor, and he's getting handled right now. I'm not getting handled directly.
He's good at his job, Patrick.
He is.
We like him. Do you have do you aim on these podcasts right now for a set length, or do you just have an sort of innate sense that here's where the conversation kind of has an end and we'll end it here?
I kind of try to take a timeline of, well, what's interesting about this guy that, or this woman that people want to know? And if I was just a regular guy that didn't know him, what would I want to know? What questions would I ask him? If I ran into Tiger on a golf course and sat in the clubhouse with him, what would I ask him? And I try to go along that road and, you know, try to obviously be conscious of, you know, you don't want to take them someplace they don't want to go, because it's not the intent of this. This isn't 60 Minutes, you know. So we're trying to have some fun with it, and at the same time, let's get to know these people in a different way, something that's a little bit unusual. And you kind of know, you know, how to wrap it up just from all the times that you've been in this situation yourself, when you know I'm done, and you kind of have a sense, I know when they're done.
Gina, do you write out your questions ahead of time? What's your process?
Do.
You do. Okay.
I do.
Interesting.
Yes. Yes. And I'm not sure it's the direct question, like word for word. Here's what I'm going to ask them. But I jot down every topic that I want to discuss and try to see how many of those I actually can get through.
I know that you ultimately want to go beyond sports. Your first guests, obviously, Calipari, Barkley, Sue Bird, Kyrie Irving, Tiger Woods, all, if they have one thing in common, obviously they're all people from the world of sports. When you eventually delve away from sports, who are some of the initial people you would love to get beyond, obviously, Liev Schreiber, who you mentioned before?
One of the people that we've contacted that we've gotten a positive response from so far is Doris Kearns Goodwin.
Nice. The famous.
And, you know, you say, well, why? Well, I mean, she's a great historian, and I love history, and she's a tremendous Red Sox fan, and I love baseball. And I just think she's fascinating when you listen to her. Along those lines, you know, I would love to talk to guys like Ken Burns, John Meacham, people that are involved in things that I find that interest me, that I enjoyed. You know, I've tried to stay away from politics as much as, you know, putting together a list of not really going down that road. You know, every time I put out something about something other than basketball, people always, stay in your lane, talk about what you know best. Okay, well, then you know what? I better never see you in a bar talking about football, because you don't know shit about football. You know, but you happen to like it, right?
Right.
So, everybody has an opportunity to discuss things that they're interested in. I would love to, you know, I happened to be at a thing this summer where I heard a professor from Penn, the Wharton School, talking about just relationships, you know, business relationships, and it was fascinating. I heard a guy from the Juilliard School of Music talk about, he's a professor there, talk about teaching and high-level performers and how they get ready to perform on the biggest stage in their biggest moment. Things like that, you know, that I find fascinating.
Gino, one of the things that I thought was really interesting was you appearing on Pardon My Take, and that is obviously the Barstool Sports podcast, the top podcast in the country in terms of downloads for sports and recreation. My sense, Gino, is that this had to have come from your son who tipped you off on this, unless I am wildly wrong and somehow you were listening to these guys prior to your appearance. What is the story behind you going on that show?
Well, it's funny. You're absolutely right, Richard. My son brought it to my attention. He works for IMG, but he says to me, this was a few years ago, too. Maybe last year. I don't know when it was. He said that guys on Barstool want you to be on their podcast. I'm like, yeah, okay. You know, and it just never happened. You know, and didn't work out. And then finally, you know, this year, he says, hey, I talked to those guys. They said they want you on. And I thought, okay. And it just so happened to be like the same week they got canned from ESPN.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, Jesus. So, you know, I figured it's not live. I can control where this goes. And if there's anything that, you know, comes out. And I told the guys right up front, hey, guys, you know where I work. You know what I do for a living. There's going to be some areas where you're just not going to go there. You understand? And they're like, absolutely. Got it. And I thought we had some fun, and I thought it came out pretty good.
Yeah.
I haven't heard it. I didn't listen to the whole thing yet.
I have. It's actually a lot of fun.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's funny. They got on you, obviously. They called you Luigi throughout, which you had a good sense of humor with. But one of the things I liked is that you, and this is obviously from dealing with you for a long time, I know, you threw it back in their face when they were sort of, you know, trying to bullshit you with certain stuff, which I think as hosts they respected. But did your son at least sort of tip you off on it's a satirical show where one of the guys in particular is sort of, you know, the questions coming to you, you know, this is not Scott Pelley and Dan Rather asking questions. You know, it's a different kind of, these are different human beings asking these questions.
Yeah, I knew where it would go. I knew what kind of guys they were. I knew what kind of show it was. But you know what? Having been on so many radio shows, different types of radio shows, like morning shows, you get a couple of DJs in the morning that want to talk to you. Now, you know, they may or may not know anything about basketball, sports, or whatever. Or they may know just enough. And you know that what they're going to ask you, you're going to go, oh, my God. So you know how to deal with stuff like that. And you know, I think, anyway, you know how to handle. And I'm the kind of guy that, like, hey, you can ask me anything.
Right.
You can ask me anything you want. I'm going to give you an answer. But at the same time, you know, I'm going to find some way to have fun with it. I'm not going to. When it's time to be serious, I'm going to be serious, but.
And those guys are, the one thing is they are uniquely funny in how they ask very well-known people like yourself questions. And so to me, just listening it from an objective standpoint, it was a very funny segment.
You know who I really think is really good at that? Dan Patrick.
He's a great interviewer.
I think Dan Patrick is maybe the best radio or TV person that I've ever been interviewed by.
That's interesting. Wow.
Ever. Yeah.
All right. We'll finish up with I should ask you this. You know, I looked as we were taping this, and you are, you know, you're anywhere between like number 25 right now and number 40 on the iTunes charts.
Really? What's that mean?
That means at a single snapshot in time, that is where you rank among all the different sports podcasts. So I was going to ask.
How many are there?
That's probably thousands at this point, I would say.
No way.
Yeah. So are you competitive? Like, do you need to be, like, is this UConn? Do you have to be in the top three or it's not going to work for you?
I don't think I have the time to devote to being in the top three or anything like that. I mean, I have a lot of stuff going on that you know, this podcast thing is like a lot of fun, and you know, I'm enjoying it to a point. But I think that's, if that's got to be almost like a full time job if you want to try to get it to
that high. Although, you know, your guy Patrick would know this, but my producer Lou Pellegrino says that at one point when the Sue Kyrie podcast came out, you were number two in the country.
Woo!
So you're like, you know, you were Baylor, Notre Dame, or Stanford, Gino. Congratulations.
And, Coach, there was a lot of buzz on social media about it as well, because I guess somebody picked up that at one point when Kyrie was pontificating, he says, I just want to know, man. I mean, Coach, like he actually forgot who he was talking to and didn't address you as Coach at one point.
That's funny.
Yeah. Well, the funniest part about the Kyrie interview was, you know, I was dying, and I didn't let him know when it was coming, but he knew it was going to come at some point.
Right.
When I asked him about the earth being flat, and I got such a kick out of that. I'll tell you what, it was genuine. It wasn't scripted. It wasn't like, you know, he knew this was going to be my answer, and it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. But, you know, like, I get aggravated just like everybody else. That's what people have to understand. Like, the average person out there that listens to a podcast or listens to a radio show or watches television, reads a newspaper, and they read something that somebody says, and they get aggravated, and they get really pissed, and they go, that just infuriates me. You know, well, I'm the same way. Just because I coach basketball, or just because I have this, you know, job and platform, I'm in the, you know, I'm in the spotlight, that doesn't mean that I don't have the same feelings that, you know, anybody else does. And believe me, there are days I'm dying to just respond to something that I see or hear or read and go, you got to be shitting me. That's a flat out goddamn lie. And nobody's willing to question that. I mean, I just recently, obviously, you know, you hear people talk and they're liars. And no one wants to say, well, this guy's got a problem with, or this woman, they've got a problem with the truth, or they're not being, you know, totally honest. How about they're just lying? And you know, you, this is what infuriates people. I mean, you can say whatever you want, provided you have some facts to back it up. But this other stuff is driving me crazy. There's so many mediums out there where people can voice their opinions, you know?
And a lot of opinions that are just absolutely not factual. All right, so here's where I want to end with, and I appreciate you giving me just a little bit of time on this. You have seen Steve Kerr and Greg Popovich be very forceful with their politics publicly. I recently have gone to your Twitter feed. You're now back on Twitter. We'll see how long that lasts, you know? And you've become politically, this is my definition, but you have become more politically active publicly on your Twitter feed. For example, there's a recent tweet from you. The great statesman of our times, Bill O'Reilly, shootings are the price of freedom. Does it cost this much in other free countries? And you're saying lame, basically calling out Bill O'Reilly for sort of pontificating, which and I would agree with you here, an absurd kind of take on the recent tragedy in Texas. So let me ask you this. How comfortable are you speaking publicly on political issues, especially under the larger prism that we have seen a lot of people in sports now be very public about how they feel?
Okay. We can go one of two ways with this. One, a lot of athletes in the past, especially the biggest athletes, have been criticized, one, for standing up for what they believe in. When I was a kid, John Carlos, Tommy Smith, Muhammad Ali, to name a few. Okay? Criticized, Muhammad Ali went to jail for standing up for what he believed in. So, okay. You want to criticize, you want to do whatever you want, fine. Fast forward. Athletes being criticized for not standing up for what they believe in, for not commenting on social issues, for not being politically active enough and using their platform. So what is it that people want from us that have a platform? Do you want us to speak out so that you can then say, stay in your lane? Do you want us to stay silent? So you go, you just care about making money and you just care about your own little world. You live in a bubble and you don't care about anything. What is it that you want? So I think what's happening is people are starting to say, and I really admire Pop and Steve, are starting to say, listen, I mean, I voted yesterday. I'm an immigrant. I came to America. I pay taxes, more taxes than most of those knuckleheads that criticize me. Okay? So what? I can't have an opinion just because I'm the best? I'm not representing the University of Connecticut when I voice my opinion. I'm representing Gino Auriemma. That's it. And then people say, well, you have a platform, so that's not fair. You should be careful. Really? You think I have a bigger platform than Rush Limbaugh? He gets to say his opinion whenever he feels like it.
Right.
You think I have a bigger platform than, you know, people on CNN, MSNBC, Fox News? No. No. Does that mean I'm not entitled to my opinion? Here's the difference. We have a lot of people in this country that go on the air or write that have a lot of opinions. But we don't have a lot of experts actually speaking about what's going on today. So the things that I talk about, that's just not an opinion. Okay, I try to take the time to know a little bit about what I'm talking about. So I'm not an expert in everything, but if I'm going to talk about something, I like to think I have my facts straight. I'm not making shit up like a lot of the stuff that's coming out, you know, every day that you read in the paper. I'm not making stuff up.
How often, if at all, do you speak about political or social issues with your players?
All the time. All the time. I mean, there's never a time when something happens or things that are going on that I don't comment on it. And you know what? They're kids. They're 17, 18, 19, 20-year-olds. And I remind them sometimes, hey, listen, I don't know how you feel about what's going on, but you got to remember, there's both sides to every story. You know, for every 18-year-old or 20-year-old that's out there criticizing the military, let's just use that as an example. There's a 20-year-old putting their life on the line somewhere around the world. So you got to understand both sides. You know, for every issue that comes up nationally, okay, there's both sides. But at the same time, some things, there's only one side. There's only one side. And there's things you can't hide your head. And I tell them all the time. You know, and I want them to be aware. I want them to be politically active. Now, the problem is, you know, when kids step up and are politically active, they're going to get crucified.
Yeah.
Is that fair to a kid? If a pro does it, fine. They're getting paid a lot of money. They can do whatever they want, when they want, where they want. These are college kids. There's a time and place. So I try to remind them, how are we going to handle this? Whatever the issue may be. And let's not just talk about it. Let's just do a symbolic gesture. Let's actually do something about it. And you know what? I don't know if I'm right or wrong. I'm just trying to explain to them, this is how I feel.
Two more on this. The WNBA obviously has really been at the forefront in terms of sports, in terms of political activism, getting out in the community, making, I think, statements that sort of have some meaning. Have you heard at all from any of your players ever this year contemplating showing some kind of on-court activism, whether that's kneeling or some other symbolic gesture?
Well, I think that a lot of them already have. You know, I remember during the Dallas police killings, there was a team effort in Minnesota, and Maya Moore and Renee Montgomery were part of that. So, yeah, I think they've already been involved, and I would encourage them to let their conscience be their guide, whatever that is. I wouldn't want them to just do what everybody else does. I wouldn't want them to just do it because, you know, hey, I'm supposed to. I want them to follow their conscience. This is what you believe in, then stand up for it. Just make sure you're doing it in a way that's respectful. Don't be as bad as those people that are disrespecting the people that you're trying to represent.
Last one for me on this, and that is, given your teams historically are national championship contenders every year, how do you view a potential invite or non-invite from Donald Trump?
I don't know. I mean, that's a good question because it's been handled a lot of different ways, and it's one of those things where why am I even being asked that question? Why is my team even being asked that question? That was never asked. That was just assumed. That was just taken for granted.
Right.
So now what has happened that has made this question have to be answered? Just that in itself makes you think, you know what? This isn't the same as it always was. This isn't what people say, well, you know, visiting the White House is a great honor. Well, that was never in question before. So now why are people questioning it? And now, you know, what are you going to do about that? Well, why are you asking? Well, there must be a reason for it. So maybe that's changed. I don't know. So I would ask my players. I mean, like, think about it. This isn't, and I understand what the Golden State Warriors did. God bless them. And I understand what a lot of other teams have done. Some can't wait to go. Some said no. Understand where I'm coming from. I coach a women's team. I coach a women's team with, can't tell you, like five or six of my players are daughters of immigrants. I have one Muslim on my team. The stuff that they've read, the stuff that they've heard addressed towards women, towards minorities, towards immigrants, I'm going to ask them. And you know what? They're going to follow their conscience. And I have a lot of faith in my team, and I know exactly what they're going to say. And we'll deal with that if and when that opportunity comes up. Hopefully we'll be in a position to have to answer that question.
I appreciate you answering that, Gino. I can make my own sort of assessment as to maybe what their answer would be. I have one basketball question for you, and then I'm going to let you out of here.
Go get them.
So, you know, you've talked about this, and this is going to be sort of the theme of your team early on, and it's a really talented group. Although I do find, Gino, I think you'd laugh too when people say, Gino, is this your most talented team? People seem to forget that you had a team that basically once had four players who went top five in the WNBA draft on the same team. So that's going to be rather tough to top. But the season this year, you've talked a lot about how, interestingly enough, the Mississippi State loss relieves a burden for the program, because all the stuff about the streak and all the stuff about inevitability and all the stuff about how no other team can win the championship, all that's gone now. And while I realize you certainly did not like losing in the moment, how do you think that loss last year ultimately shapes this group coming back early? Because they now, if nothing else, they don't have that, and I realize it's a ridiculous sort of phrase to use, but they don't have that anchor around them anymore.
No, I think a lot of that's true. There did need to be kind of a readjustment. I mean, I keep trying to remind people that we are in the growing stages still of women's basketball. We are new in relative terms. The NCAA tournament is new, relatively speaking. So we're just starting to expand to the point where, you know, more teams feel like they can compete. South Carolina being one, Mississippi State being another one, that put themselves in that situation that years ago that never would have happened. So for us then to keep winning the national championship, I don't know that that's great for us, and I don't know that that's great for women's basketball. So the fact that it happened, I thought was fabulous. The way it happened, no, I was pissed.
Yeah.
And when I watched the film again during the summer, when we got together with our coaching staff to go over this season, it was the first time I had seen it. And I walked out. I'm not watching this crap.
Because you were that mad about...
I was still pissed. Yeah. And yet, at the same time, I was really, really happy that we got to recharge. You know, it's like turning the computer off, turn your phone off, let it recharge, and then turn it back on again. I think we needed to do that. These players didn't need to come here this September and have to answer more questions about, wow, that's 113 in a row, that's 5 national championships in a row, don't lose, you better not lose. Not like, hey, guys, what do you think your chances are of winning, a national championship? It would be, when are they going to lose? Nope, they're never going to lose. 250 in a row, 300 in a row. They'll never lose again in the history of basketball. None of that's any good. None of that's any good. So now, you know what? In some ways, we're just like every other team.
Right.
And that's good. And then the other part, like you said, wow, it's the most talented team in the history of Connecticut basketball. Yo, dudes, I have 4 guys on my team, including Svetlana, 5. They played in the Olympics. Name me 5 Olympians on my team right now.
Right. Exactly.
So stop it already.
Right. Not to mention, you're only a couple years removed from Renee Montgomery, Tuck, and Breanna Stewart, who, in terms of we'll see where their careers end up down the road, but that's one of the great threesomes college team's ever had.
Yeah, if you think about it, like you mentioned, we had...
Or Mariah Jefferson. I think I said Renee Montgomery. Jefferson, Breanna Stewart, and Morgan Tuck. Right.
Sue went number one. Swing Cash went number 2, and they both made the Olympic team.
Right.
Asia Jones went number 4, and Tamika Williams, I think, went number 5 or 6.
I think that's right.
Okay? And, that's pretty hard to beat. And on that same team, we had Dana Taurasi.
Yeah, what happened to her?
She wasn't even Rookie of the Year her freshman year in our league. And, if she didn't come here and she didn't get the coaching I give her, she would still be a bum.
Yeah, she may be just somewhere in, where is she, from Chico, California? Just, open up a restaurant or something.
Yeah, I taught her everything she knows.
Or Chino, California, I think is where
I taught her everything she knows. I just got off the phone with Cal. I'm starting to sound like him now.
Yeah. Well, at least you don't have one and done. So that's a good thing, Gino.
Right. I think that would be one way to change where women's basketball is. You want more variety. You want different winners every year. One and done's will do it.
They would do it. All right. Holding Court with Gino Auriemma is the podcast. You can find that on Apple Podcasts. It's on Google Play, Stitcher. Right now it's easily in the top 40. Of the rankings. As Gino said, he's got John Calipari coming up. And go back and listen to this stuff. The Kyrie Irving and Sue Bird one was fantastic. It's just funny and fun to listen to a good conversation. And then Tiger Woods, again, first podcast he's ever done. And there's a lot of news that was made in that podcast. Gino, you have I've always enjoyed talking to you over the 15 years I have done it. I try my best to get you in the news. So I hope you appreciate that, Gino.
Yes, good and bad, and I have always enjoyed it. And you do a lot for women's basketball at the college level, and I wish you had more opportunities to do it, but I understand. But I appreciate all you do.
You got it. Thanks, Gino. Gino Auriemma, our guest on the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. All right, back in the studio, my thanks to Gino Auriemma. I really enjoyed that. That was great. Gino is, again... He's probably the best coach I've ever dealt with in terms of just answering questions over the years. He's I enjoy being around him very, very much, and and his coaching record speaks for himself, but he's really, really a good interview. No question about that. My thanks to Lou Pellegrino for producing this podcast. And thanks to you for listening. If you want to go back in the archives, last podcast, Marty Smith of ESPN. That was a great conversation. Kim Martin and Chad Millman. Kim Martin now covering the Redskins for the Washington Post. Chad Millman with the Churning Group. And we had a number of sports media roundtables featuring Chad Finn, Jim Miller, and others. Please go back, Sports Illustrated Media Podcast with Richard Deitch. If you like this, give us a rating. Give us a comment. You can find those on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Google Play. For everybody at Cadence 13, for Lou Pellegrino, for everybody at Sports Illustrated, this is Richard Deitch. We'll see you again on the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast.
Do you know about the Locked On Podcast Network? The number one daily sports podcast network. Locked On has a daily podcast on every NBA and NFL team, plus a growing lineup of college and MLB teams. You get a daily bite-sized podcast giving you the latest on your team from the local experts. Lakers fans, search Locked On Lakers. Cowboys fans, search Locked On Cowboys. Just search Locked On, your favorite team, on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On, your favorite team. Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.